Welcome to Breast Cancer Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. For this issue, we focus on triple-negative breast cancer. And to begin, I met with Dr. Hope Rugo, and she started our conversation by discussing the biology of this subset of the disease. I just want to begin with sort of an academic question. We're focusing on triple-negative disease. And I guess my question to you today is, at this point, with a lot more sort of translational biologic knowledge about this disease, how you view triple-negative breast cancer? Do you even view it as the third disease? And is it just the absence of ER and HER2, or is there something in your mind that characterizes the biology of triple-negative breast cancer?
You know, I think what we've realized, it's kind of funny. I always used to think of triple-negative breast cancer as non-A, non-B hepatitis, you know, from training, where you really characterize something by the absence of things that we use for treatment. And having been practicing since the discovery of HER2 and then development of targeting HER2, it's been an interesting transition to, you know, understand, as we had treatment for HER2, that there was a separate group where people had very aggressive disease and often fared very poorly. But I think since that time, which now is two decades old, we have, you know, really in clinical practice, what you recognize is that this is a very heterogeneous disease. And in some ways, we haven't exactly figured out how to change that heterogeneity for the entire group of patients. So, you know, how to address that heterogeneity, more aptly put. So you have patients, the majority of patients, who have, you know, very proliferative, high-grade, triple-negative disease. Some have a little percent of ER, but they still act very much like triple-negative disease, you know, maybe 2% or less than 10%. You know, hard to know where that transition is. And then some people have the ER of zero, very aggressive, rapidly growing disease. And then still others, a smaller subset, have these kind of indolent triple-negative disease that almost looks like it's hormone receptor positive, but it has no receptors. So when, you know, you see a patient who has triple-negative breast cancer, first you have to categorize in your mind, where does this cancer fit? Obviously, our approach to early stage and metastatic disease is going to be different as well, because in early stage disease, if you fall into the majority group where you have a more rapidly growing hormone receptor negative disease, HER2 negative, falls into the triple-negative category or close enough, the next differential for us really is, how do you respond to chemotherapy? How does the cancer respond to chemotherapy? Because if you see a rapid shrinkage of the cancer, that falls into a category of very chemotherapy responsive disease. And then some of the patients have sort of a sluggish response, and then the cancer starts growing back again. That's our worst category of triple negative breast cancer. So it's really, in some ways, you're using the clinical differentiation and then response to therapy in the early stage neoadjuvant setting to try and differentiate out different subgroups biologically. Now, how that translates into our expression groups, you know, the gene expression groupings that have been created with intrinsic subtyping or with further differentiation in the sort of peat and pole classification of triple negative disease, it's not entirely clear, because we don't use those gene expression subgroups in clinical practice. I'm guessing that there's some overlap, that it's not all, for example, if you look at a basal-like triple-negative breast cancer, some of those cancers do very well, and then there's a subgroup that don't do very well, and we don't really understand why some of those groups are genetically plastic and mutate as you're treating them and become more and more resistant. And that's a huge challenge for us in the treatment of triple-negative disease.
You know, it's interesting that you make that comment, because, you know, you're really talking about a lot of clinical observations as opposed to genomic profiles. You've been doing the I-SPY trials, you've been looking at people's tumors, and yet this is kind of what it kind of comes down to.